Today's program was brought to you by Union Beer. For more information, visit greatbrewers.com.
This is Mike Edison, host of Art Senses a Seizure, as you're listening to the Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, please visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. It's May 24th, 2016. I'm Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 43 and the Good Beer Seal. In honor of Colorado's new Belgian brewing entering the New York City market, we'll be talking with Phil Abel and Chip Newell from that brewery. And also in our studio, our good friends BR and Bob, who got a great podcast on WFMU and just came back from the Copenhagen Beer Celebration. And we might have a couple special calling guests. And Ann Becerra, we're back on the air, man.
Yeah, it's been a while. I lost my voice a little bit, so you have to forgive me. Hopefully we can make this work.
So a couple of weeks ago at one of the places you work, you hosted the big union beer distributing, the trade tasting party.
Yeah, we did the pre-party the night before, which turned out to be such a good slash bad idea. It was so wonderful, and we had so much fun, and all 40 lines at Taproom 307 was from Union Beer. Live band. These guys were great. They were doing Queen covers and Prince and everyone singing and dancing. And the next day we got to the trade show, and you know, a lot of people were kind of rubbing their heads and wondering, why did I stay out so late? But totally worth it.
You got to them.
What a great show.
What were some of the brands that had the reps at your party?
We had a lot of the head brewers or the sales directors from Abita, from Omegang, from Firestone Walker, from Ducks, from Left Hand, Flying Dog, Ninkasi. I mean, everybody was out. It was a really great showing. And again, the trade show was awesome. You know, it was just my favorite table there was, well, not my favorite. They're all my favorite. But one of the standouts was the Hitachino from Japan. They had all of these really rare barrel-aged beers that they have. One was aged in cherry blossom wood that we'd never tried before, and it was a spontaneously fermented sake. That was just to die for. What a great show.
Well, there's some great things going on in New York, and just a couple weeks ago, the Craft Brewers Conference, the CBC that we know, was in Philly, and a number of the brewers came up through New York. I know Faction Brewing from Alameda stopped by Jimmy's Number 43 and Odell's, and the guys from Yelp in Netherlands. And I guess this show, we're going to talk about people that are coming to New York from other places and other places that we've been to. But let's introduce. So BR and Bob, we know you guys work for the Shelton Brothers, but one reason you're on the show is that you guys have been do your own podcast on WFMU. Tell us a little bit about that and about your trip to Copenhagen.
Yeah, well, we've been doing a podcast for 5 years now on WFMU, which is a nonprofit kind of community radio station based in Jersey City, New Jersey. I've been a fill-in DJ there for a bunch of years. And the podcast is called Beer Here. You can find it at beerhere.blogspot.com, or you could just go to the WFMU website. You'll find a link to Beer Here. And, well, it's a podcast about beer.
And then that's great and awesome, and I guess we should listen to it. But on that note, so some of the guys like Faction and a lot of others, Tired Hands, they left Philly and they went to this beer festival in Copenhagen, the other CBC, which kind of is kind of cool. Copenhagen Beer.
How do you say CBC in Danish? Anybody know?
Oh, yeah.
CBC.
But he wrote it in English. Right. So tell us about that. Give us a little recap of
I think this was the fifth year. It's organized by Mikkeller Brewery. And it's essentially, it started out kind of where the brewery invited their friends. And now it's turned into this big festival, international festival. A requirement is that the brewer has to be present pouring the beer. And it's pretty impressive. They have a huge Scandinavian section, so got to try a bunch of beers and breweries that never even heard of.
There's also a ton of American breweries that I had never had before, never had the opportunity. So Mikkel selects just what he thinks are the best breweries all over the world. So I was excited to get a lot of these American brewers. I was surprised at how many were there.
So, did anything stand out in particular from the U.S.?
Let's see. Jester King, you know, that was pretty amazing. Bagby was pretty great.
Jeff Bagby from Pizza
Port?
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't had any of his stuff yet. That's cool.
There were so many. Thankfully, I took copious notes on my voice notes on the iPhone. Still haven't transcribed them, but I must have tried 100 different beers in 2 days.
One thing I wanted to talk about, because it's kind of like, it seems like some of these stars are brewing, it's almost like you're a director in a film where you're going to Cannes and you know, other, I don't even know, Sundance for all these festivals. And let's all, and Phil and Chip, you guys jump in too. Like, what is it about the new kind of, the new world of top brewers where there's Beer Fest and, you know, how many places do you guys have to go from New Belgium?
A lot. No, I think that beer festivals are awesome, and I think that the big challenge with festivals is, you know, how they differentiate themselves from others. You know, some are big pours and a lot of fun and a lot of music, and others are, you know, way more about the beer and about what's limited and what you can't necessarily go find in the market. And I like them both, you know. I like the full spectrum that beer festivals offer, and it just, you know, they're becoming so popular, and I think that that's a really good thing because it's connecting so many people who may not be into craft beer yet.
There's so many. I mean, there's like Shelton Brothers, the festival. There's Copenhagen Beer Conference. There's CBCs, the GABFs.
BCTC. We like our letters. I've noticed that.
Yeah. There's a Paris Beer Week, which we got to check out.
Which is, speaking of letters, it's PBW, which is the same as Philly Beer Week, so...
Yeah, I put a hashtag for CBC on Instagram last year, and somehow it was like the California Breastfeeding Convention as well.
Yes.
Like, oh my goodness! Okay,
a lot of milk.
We're not
stouts.
The only people that like. Yeah, right. So many like our letters.
That's say it again, Bob. That's
I said. I said they had a lot of milk stouts and very creamy beers.
My.
Lactic acid.
No. No. Anyway, it's nice for Beer Fest, too, because it's like, you know, people that are just getting into it, you know, don't have to go to a bar and say, can I taste this and this and this and this and this, or spend their fortune on, you know, trying things they don't like. It's a great way to get to know your favorite beers.
Well, tell me more about, I want to hear more about this Copenhagen Beer Fest.
Well, it was a lot of fun. I mean, again, like I say, some really unique beers. As usual, places like Hill Farmstead, Surly had incredibly long lines, Jester King.
Guys like Faction from Alameda, California.
Yeah.
They were in Philly for the CBC, flew to New York, flew to Copenhagen.
Fonta Flora from North Carolina was there. Perennial came from St. Louis. Saw our good friend Jonathan Moxie out there. I'm trying to think of now the other American breweries. I try to do more of the Europeans, although, as Bob says, there are a lot of American ones that we just don't get here on the East Coast or just haven't had.
Boxing Cat.
Boxing Cat from Japan was there.
There's also a lot of sour beers at this fest, a ton of sour beers. You know, when we were at the Paris Beer Week, they were really focused on IPAs, and it was a little bit boring for us because, you know, IPA, America, we've had enough of it, or I have. But once we got to Copenhagen, sour. I think my favorite, maybe your favorite too, favorite beer was from a Swedish, Norwegian?
They were Finnish, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce the name of the brewery. It's a very long Finnish word, but they did a beet Berliner Weiss, and I guess it depends on what you think about beets. But it essentially, it had
thumbs up.
Sounds great.
Fantastic color. You smelled it, and it had a wonderful beet aroma. Not vegetal, but very beet and earthy.
Yeah.
And then the combination of the lactic.
I was just thinking the same thing, like beets
from
and goat cheese.
Weiss, yeah. It was like a carbonated borscht, cold borscht with sour cream.
Oh, so good.
It needed just a sprig of dill to make it. Oh, I mean, it was, you know, that is something that could turn out terribly. It sounds like it could go either way, and it was just fantastic.
You know, we've just done so many. I'm trying to go somewhere. We've had done so many shows about local beer and New York beer, and it's like we've had brewers going. You guys were in Copenhagen, and we've got a new brewery, New Belgium, which isn't that new, but here in New York City now. You know, and what do you think about that? I mean, it's like there's so many breweries in the world right now, and you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's good. Obviously, it's good. I mean, it's something that people really enjoy, and I like that it's bringing people out and bringing people together. but the more saturated it becomes, I think, the easier it is for confusion, you know? So I think things like the podcast, you know, Beer Here, Beer Sessions, or you know, great bars and bartenders and festivals where you can meet the brewer, it's really nice because it gives an extra layer of kind of connection to the beer. Because otherwise, you walk into a beer school, a store, if you don't know what you're doing and if no one's there to guide you, who knows? I mean, I get overwhelmed and I know, fairly know a lot about it.
Let's cut to the beer. So Chip Newell, just tell us your official position, because you've got a hat that says Beer Ranger.
I do. I still consider myself a beer ranger, but I just moved out to New York City, specifically Greenpoint from Atlanta. I've been with New Belgium for 7 years since we rolled out the Georgia market in 2009. And so I just took on this position, and we hired three rangers for the Manhattan and Brooklyn area. And I'm kind of splitting the Manhattan beer territory with a guy named Frank, who is going to be managing a girl named Sierra, as well as my co-partner in crime today, Phil Ebel.
All right.
Phil, you've worked for other breweries in New York before, right?
Yeah, so, Phil Ebel, Long Island Beer Ranger. I get to keep the cool title. I came from a Great South Bay Brewery out on Long Island. I was with them for just under 6 years, where I was the, guy that did a lot of everything over there except for make the beer. Director of operations, senior vice president of the company. New Belgium came along, and when they called, I answered.
I was only in town, I think, for a full week, and then I met Phil out for a beer one Saturday afternoon, and pretty much told him that you're gonna be our guy, and he just kind of skipped his way through the interview process from there. So there really wasn't anyone else we even looked at for, kind of his Long Island territory right there. He's the man out there, and everybody knows him. So,
Chip, how did you get involved in beer?
Well, I've only ever had a job in beer.
You should pour us some of that beer.
And, yeah, no doubt. Actually, we got plenty more to crack here. We can crack Citradelic, Fat Tire. I actually worked for a distributor one summer in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, where I'm from, and spent the summer waking up at 4:30 in the morning and getting on beer trucks and hustling beer in the Baton Rouge heat. And my parents thought I was going to hate it, and I ended up loving it and really went to UGA, took all my classes with kind of the beer industry in mind. And I actually applied for a job with New Belgium right out of college after I did a case study on the company. I got a handwritten note back saying they were looking for someone with more distributor experience. And so right after I graduated, I moved to Denver and started working for Anheuser-Busch Sales of Denver, along with a couple other folks that now work at New Belgium, witnessed the European, takeover of a company.
So tell us about the beer that we're drinking now.
Citradelic. All right. So Citradelic is our brand new IPA. This beer went through the gamut of recipes before we landed on its final version, and it is this really gorgeous 10 hop varietied tangerine IPA. It's very mild on bitterness. All the hops we use are aroma driven. The tangerine is so much of this olfactory play on your senses at the end of the flavor, the sip. And I think you'll notice that the hops really work in harmony to just play with that tangerine. It's we use all natural ingredients whenever we mess around with.
We got some serious tasters in this room. BR, how do you taste? What do you taste when you taste this beer? Because it's kind of complicated.
Yeah, it's got a fantastic aroma. There's a lot going on, very citrusy, but it's nice sweetness, nice malt sweetness. It's not overly hoppy, not overly aggressive in the finish. Which for me, that's my type of IPA, is something it's more aromatic with supporting bitterness, but not like crazy kill your palate bitterness.
And Ann, you called for this beer. So
it reminds me of as soon as you peel an orange, that first peel off and it just kind of sprays just a little bit and you kind of get that aroma. That's what it reminds me of.
Absolutely.
Very refreshing.
I find this beer very wet. It's very moist. There's a lot of moisture in it. It's very fluid.
Juicy.
In that too, yeah. And it could be the wettest beer I've ever had.
Good.
I like your vocabulary. This is the kind of things you say on Beer Here, Bob?
No, Beer Here gets very, very blue. It's really for adults only, so. No. we let the interviewees do the talking for the most part on the Beer Here podcast.
Can I ask, what's your experience? I mean, coming into such a saturated market, and a lot of people say, at this point, if you're not in New York, don't come. No offense to anyone. It's so saturated. What's your experience been so far since you've been in here?
Yeah, no.
I mean, aside from the launch event.
Yeah.
I know we're doing.
No, we've definitely heard it all. And really, we haven't been able to just come to New York because we've been at capacity with our brewery in Fort Collins. It really took building a second brewery in Asheville, North Carolina, to be able to come to New York the right way. meaning just to even dip our toe in the water of this monster market. And we're so happy to be, you know, well-received and be a part of the beer community, the craft beer community out here that has been, you know, booming for so long. So, you know, I'm super stoked about I'm new here, so I'm wide-eyed, drinking all of the local beers and loving them, and so we definitely appreciate it, and we're humbled by, you know, the scene that's already here.
So Chip, you're new, so tell us about some of the launch parties. Which are the bars you really like the launch parties at in New York City?
Well, we're in Brooklyn right now, so I have to talk about some. We went to one at the Well that was this really, really just wild place. It's so big and unassuming, and they have an amazing craft beer selection. Of course, we did one at Tap Room 307. They had all of our beers on tap a Wednesday night, and it was huge. Some other ones that we did that were, you know, we did one at Brewery Lane, which is actually right down the street from my house. This is another thing that's kind of unique to the New York market. It's a bottle shop where
you live
can drink
here too
a beer.
Now.
Yeah. So
oh.
I loved the spectrum, you know, whether it was a big beer bar or a small beer bar, but really just the places that wanted to work with us. And, you know, looking back on the list of places that we did launch promotions with, I mean, they're just, I'm so happy that we're able to work with them on week one.
And Phil, what are a couple bars out in Long Island that you had launch parties at?
A couple bars we had out on Long Island. TJ Finley's in Bayshore, Tap and Barrel in Smithtown, Jackson's Restaurant in Comac. Did a couple new spots up in Huntington, Vauxhall, which is like a gourmet burger spot, True North Gastro Pub. Really had a great time. I mean, over the course of 4 days, we did, you know, close to 30 launch events. We had a lot of help from some of our coworkers that came in for the event.
Wow, that's awesome. We're off to a great start. We're talking about all kinds of things back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
In 1996, L. Knife & Son acquired Union Beer Distributors, which was originally located on Union Avenue in Brooklyn, but has since expanded to its present location alongside the English Kills Canal in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. Union Beer has grown dramatically in the last decade as the primary distributor of Anheuser-Busch products for Kings County, Brooklyn, through the hiring and development of the best people in the industry. In 2003, Union Beer acquired a powerful catalog of specialty brands, which immediately positioned them as the craft beer supplier to accounts in Manhattan, Brooklyn, Queens, and Staten Island. Union perpetually tweaks their portfolio to maintain the highest level of stylistic breadth with the most coveted brands available. Through the highest possible level of service, outstanding salesmanship of the ultimate lineup of brands, and a paramount focus on education on all levels, Union Beer has solidified its position as the only source for the best selection of beers in the 14 counties of southeastern New York. For more information, visit greatbrewers.com.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. Hey, we got the people from Copenhagen and Beer Here Podcast and Ambassador and New Belgium guys in the room. So we were talking about what it was like launching a brand in New York. Well, you know, BR, you know, in addition to you and Bob being a podcast on WFMU, you also work for an importer, Shelton Brothers. So tell us what it's like, you know, launching a brand in New York City as like a small brand, and maybe mention one in particular that you were part of.
That's a little bit different. I mean, basically, we might not have quite the same support from the brewery, or else we just don't have a lot of availability. When we bring something into every beer that we have in our portfolio is technically available in New York. It's just a matter of making sure it's registered and getting it to our distributor. But, you know, we'll focus on certain breweries. You had Alejandro from Way Beer from Brazil, for example, on here a couple weeks ago. So what we'll do is he was coming through town before both Philly CBC and Copenhagen CBC. And so we'll do some events, sort of meet the brewer, because there are so many beers. A lot of people are drinking local or they're drinking regionally, so we really have to do something to make it stand out. And meeting the brewer is very, as Anne was saying, that's very meaningful for people to be like, oh, you're the person who created the beer, let me ask you about it because I have no idea about beer from Brazil or wherever. So we'll do small launch events around the city, but certainly not as many as New Belgium did. I would be exhausted if I had to do all those. But so good for you guys for going through all that.
And then did you bring this beer in?
I did. I brought the Oxbow. This is the Funk House. It's a farmhouse ale, dry hopped, fermented with Brettanomyces. I brought a beer. This is we were up Bob and I for our beer here for our podcast. We're up in both Newcastle and Portland, Maine. Visited the brewery and their blending room after Christmas. So figured bring one of the breweries that we were had on the podcast.
Yeah, it's a really beautiful brewery to visit. It's pretty far. I mean, it's about an hour north of Portland, and that's far as it is. But it's really worth it if you're up in that area to go up to Newcastle, Maine. Visit the brewery. They're on a farm. They actually use the products they grow on the farm in the beers, in some of the beers. They have animals on the farm. It's just a fairy tale setting. And if you go there in the winter, it's unbelievable. It's gorgeous with all the snow, which is what we got, which was we loved it. And then if you go in the summer, you know, you're in the woods. You can go hiking. But highly recommended. And these are one. This is one of the breweries that they use a cool ship. You can see the cool ship they use. And I think it's a 5-barrel cool ship. There's a lot to look at up there, and just the nature alone, very unique.
Bob, is that your DJ voice?
Yes. Back in 5 minutes. With
you go on WFMU, you spin tunes.
I started at FMU about, I think, 1997. Yeah, as an overnight DJ. And I only did a regular show for half year. I couldn't hack it. It was just too much to do with a job. But that's what podcast is a lot easier to do on FMU. But I love WFMU. And one of the funniest, or I don't know if it's funny now, but at the time it wasn't funny. I was doing a fill-in show, I think for the general manager of the radio station. And I thought, oh, it'd be great to have the guys from Barcade on. We'll do a little beer tasting on the radio. And I was tremendously hungover, you know, because it's a Wednesday morning, so naturally. And so BR was there, Paul from Barcade, Michael from Barcade, and we're just drinking beers and talking, sort of like this, except at the radio station, the DJ is also the engineer. So I ended up spilling an entire beer into the board, destroying it.
David just had a heart attack.
Yeah, yeah. It was major damage. And the GM is a good friend of mine. He's a very nice guy. And he said, Bob, I hate to do this, but you're suspended for 6 months. See you in half a year. So there are some trouble. You know, it's a good thing you have the engineer in that room and the beer in this room.
Well, we're very proud to be on the Heritage Radio Network. And just so you know, there was a big CBS news show.
Yeah, my great aunt texted me. I just
and Aaron and so Emily cool. Peterson, a lot of great hosts were on that thing, and they could check it on our Facebook, heritageradionetwork.org. But talking about connections and region, all this stuff. So, Phil, you know, you're with New Belgium now, and you worked on Long Island before. Mm-hmm. But the guy that I know who moved out to Colorado is Jeff Wenzel.
Yeah, Jeff.
Who I knew from up in Kingston, New York at Keegan's.
Yeah, Jeff's a good guy.
And a couple years ago, what? Everyone's like, oh, he's moving out to New Belgium.
Yeah, 2 years ago, he moved out there. He works in our cellar for most of the time and then works in our wood cellar for the rest of the time. So he gets to play around with some cool
So tell
cool
me, that, what's
beers.
The New Belgium mystique? Because I've never been to Fort Collins. I'm not from Colorado.
Oh, man.
We got to get you out there.
So when I heard that Jeff was moving, everyone thought that was a great promotion for him.
Yeah, it's it's weird, you know, and I asked him that, you know, because people ask me, you know, when I moved from my position to this position, they're like, you know, you're moving from, you know, kind of top of the ladder to the bottom of the ladder. It's like, you know, well, you kind of hit a ceiling where you know, for me, it's like I'm in a constant learning process, you know. So for Jeff, you know, Jeff is the head brewer at Keegan Ales, you know. So he moved out to Colorado, and sure, he works, you know, works in the cellar. But, you know, everybody at New Belgium, and one of the things that the thing that I've learned at New Belgium is they hire the right people for the right jobs. You know, everybody has a job to do. We all do our job. It's all for the greater good of the company. I mean, it's an employee-owned company. I'm super looking forward to when I get my employee ownership paperwork and my bike on my one-year anniversary. Jeff is super happy. You know, I was out there for training and hanging out with him, you know, quite a bit. I mean, he put a couple good words in for me as I was going through the interview process. And, man, I've never seen that guy so happy.
So tell me about the employee owned.
Yeah, I love
that. It's really interesting because some breweries, people are growing, and you know, some people are getting, you know, they're merging, they're getting...
Absolutely.
Left-hand is employee-owned, too. I like this trend. It's a good trend.
It is. It's really cool. You know, when I...
Hedge funds, that's the word.
When I started...
Some guys are getting money from hedge funds.
Oh, yeah. They're private equity money. So, yeah, when I started, we were about 40-something... percent ESOP, employee owned. We had employee owned on our cans, and you know, when Kim, you know, Kim basically in 2012 sold her shares.
What's her, Kim Jordan?
Kim Jordan, our former CEO, who's now the head of our board of directors, sold all her and her family's shares back to the company so that we could be 100% employee owned, which you know, really just took everything kind of to the next level. And you know what that means as far as our jobs day to day is just, you know, it's authentic caring for each other and what we do, you know, on a day to day basis. So it just makes it that much more, you know, rich to get up in the morning and sell beer, which we're very lucky to do.
What's the myth of the Ranger? Because I know you have a Ranger IPA. What is it? You have a patch on your hat that says, what does it say? Beer Ranger.
Well, Phil's a beer ranger now, so why don't you talk, Phil?
All right. So the beer, Ranger IPA, which we could actually crack open some Ranger
in
a minute here.
I was at Waterfront Ale House in Manhattan. It's like 29th Street, 2nd Avenue. Sam Barbieri, longtime Good Brew Seal Bar owner, and a competitive barbecue champion, in case you don't know that. I happened to go by last night, and we hung out, and we had a couple of those. So
yeah, so, so Ranger IPA is actually named after... the Beer Rangers. Little known fact, or maybe it's a majorly known fact, that New Belgium did not have an IPA until 2010. Guys like Chip and the rest of our coworkers, you know, were out there and coming back to the mothership, which is what we call our Fort Collins brewery, saying, guys, we're getting killed out there. Everybody's got an IPA. The only thing anybody wants is an IPA. We have to have an IPA. You know, our brew house, you know, was built for Belgian ales. It was not built for dry hopping. It was not built for, you know, hop heavy beers. Well, you know, our founder, Jeff Liebisch, you know, is an engineer, and engineering is a huge part of what New Belgium does. So they figured out a way to make it work. You know, they went through trials and trials and trials, and the Rangers were tasting the Ranger, you know, until they got it right. And, you know, it was only fitting that they named the beer, you know, our first IPA after the guys that are out there, you know, feet on the street.
Well, speaking of engineering and your brew house, something that's probably the most impressive to me is just how incredibly environmentally friendly you guys are. And I mean, the brew house is so efficient, and just, can you just speak a little bit to that and how, you know, what you do to conserve?
Yeah, there is. It's a
whole. You can talk forever about.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah, no doubt. It's a whole list of things, but you know, really, what kind of humbles me, like, so when I lived in Colorado, when people would come to visit me, I would take them to the brewery, and that was kind of what I became, you know, my go to brewery tour, and then I started meeting people that said, you know, oh, I went to New Belgium. Your brewery is like a cathedral, and I never really knew anything kind of but that as far as my, you know, go to brewery tour. I'm a fan first before I'm an employee, but we do so much. We have a water treatment plant on site with a like methane bubble that literally captures the gas from the wastewater treatment that then goes to like a cogeneration thing to power some of the brewery. And
Phil's nodding his head.
That's bananas.
Have you been in the company long enough to get a tour of the brewery?
yeah. So, I mean, when I was with Great South Bay, we went out there for GABF every year, you know, for the past 6 years. So, you know, it's funny, when I went out for orientation, they were always like, oh, how are you liking the brewery? I was like, this is my eighth time here at the brewery. But something that I just learned from our coworker, Jamie Mastin of Portland, Oregon, he's our Portland Love Master. He's been with the company long enough that his title is Love Master. So he told me
that word ranges too assertive for Portland.
Well, love for us stands for living our values every day, and that's what he does. So you know, for he explained to me when he was out here on Long Island, helped me with the launch events. He explained that when the people of Fort Collins come home from work and, you know, turn on their house lights, turn on their TVs, it raises the amount of pull on the city's power, and that's the time that New Belgium goes off the grid. We take the power that we are generating ourselves from the water treatment plant and such, and we go off the grid at the times that the Fort Collins residents are using the most electricity.
And what about the bicycles?
They're amazing.
But what is the bicycle?
Yeah, so, you know, the bicycle really originates back to, you know, Jeff Liebisch, our founder, his trip to to Belgium on his specialized mountain bike. Everyone in Europe is on skinny tire bikes. And so when he's going from brewery to brewery, he kept hearing, there goes that crazy American again on his fat tire bike. So he knew he wanted to call his first beer Fat Tire in honor of the Belgian session ales that were so well balanced over there. And so that has really become the symbol of our company. To us, it's all about balance and work-life balance. And yes, you know, alternative forms of transportation are great too. So everyone rides their bike, and that's it's authentic.
Guys are smiling too.
Yeah.
BR's. I mean, every time I see you guys, you're on your bike, right? Very nice little segue, even in the city.
That's the way to get around. It's the best way.
It sure is. Now I know more, but I didn't really know that much about New Belgium, and I didn't even know what Fat Tire was until today. And I'm serious. But welcome to New York, guys.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, man. It's so cool. So we'll take another short break. We'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio. All right. Welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. Hey, check us out, heritageradionetwork.org. Okay, here we are. We're talking about Copenhagen, New Belgium. Ann Becerra was in Italy. It's like the travel show. But we got a special call-in. So one reason we did the show is that BR and Bob were in the Copenhagen Beer Conference.
Celebration.
That's
no conference
me
about
up.
It.
And I want to hear more about it. And we've got a call-in guest, Todd from Fonta Flora Brewery in North Carolina, who was out there. Is he on the line yet, Todd? Or his buddy Justin's talking to him. So
we had some of his beers. I recall the one with, now I'm trying to remember if it was local grains, I believe spontaneously fermented. There were a lot of beers we drank, but the Fonta Flora definitely stuck out. And I believe I met Todd at Spite and Dival a couple of years ago, or a year ago.
So the type of brewer that went, so he's in the Appalachian region of North Carolina. He deals with a lot of like microflora stuff, some English and Belgian style beers.
So yeah, it was. I mean, and the at Copenhagen it was a mix of you know, as Bob was saying earlier, a lot of sour ales. You know, then you did have some of the bigger beer, a lot of imperial stouts. But all you know, everyone, some people brought things that were either something that was very specialized for the festival, or else they would bring things that were, you know, one thing would be one of their regular beers. But for us, they were all new beers because a lot of them we hadn't had before. And then, you know, it was always good time. Todd from Surly Brewing played the brewer's party, played some guitar afterwards at the brewer's party. So it was essentially just a big, big party in Copenhagen.
And sounds then, awful.
Yeah, and for you guys, as you know, as you're working as a distributor rep, importer rep, you know, what is the Copenhagen beer scene like?
The Copenhagen,
it's like Mikkeller.
It's pretty much the Mikkeller has taken over, but a lot of great bars, lots of beer available. It's not just Carlsberg now. You know, as a couple of years ago would have, you know, or say like 10 years ago, you really would have found mostly light lagers. But between both Jeppe's Old Boutiquen and all the Mikkeller bars and breweries and shops, it's really taken off.
So we got Todd. Are you on the line?
Hey guys.
Hey man. Hey Todd, just tell us briefly about your brewery and give us some you know, some feedback on your trip to Copenhagen.
Yeah, sure. So you said tell you all about my brewery. Is that what you said first?
Yeah, I mean it's the first time I heard of it today. So.
Oh great. Okay. Yeah. So Fonta Flora Brewery. We're about 2.5 years old. A little quaint town in North Carolina, in between Charlotte and Asheville. We're kind of I guess. If anybody can be known for anything, I guess we're kind of getting known for making beers with pretty place-specific ingredients, and so we're really trying to push the limits of what it means to actually brew local beer and sourcing, you know, a ton of local ingredients and then a lot of, you know, sort of heirloom ingredients as well. So that's kind of what we strive to do. And we make a plethora of a wide range of beers stemming from, you know, a lot of Saisons and wild ales, and then, you know, IPAs and kind of like your more classic, you know, British style beers as well.
And Todd, it was, sorry, I hate to interrupt. So some of our friends were just in Copenhagen. What were the beers that you poured at the festival in Copenhagen?
Yeah, so we tried to showcase the kind of the variety of beers that we do make with the local ingredients. And so we had, you know, we took our Beet Rhymes in Life. It's a local beet saison. We took a beer called Southern Saison, brewed with Charleston black tea and then lemon zest, kind of a riff on, you know, the popular Southern beverage. You know, and then a few wild ales, incorporating local ingredients such as, you know, raspberries in one, and then peaches and nectarines in one, and pears in another. So we kind of we took the approach of just trying to showcase some a lot of our saisons and wild ales, and some of them pretty funky and tart, while others just kind of plain and, you know, refreshing. Which ended up being a really nice mixture because a lot of folks were, you know, pouring big old imperial stouts and then really, really heavy fruited sour ales as well. So I think it ended up being a good combination of beers.
Can you tell us a little bit about some of the heritage grains you brew with?
Say that again?
Some of the, like, heritage grains and heirloom ingredients that you brew with?
Yeah, sure. You know, so we work with a lot of, lucky enough to have really great relationships with a lot of farmers and continue building more. I mean, even while I was gone, one of my bartenders sent me a text with a photo of some really nice looking Bloody Butcher corn, with a note from a farmer that was like, "Hey, heard y'all like to use this corn. I grow a lot of it," you know, so that's how I imagine how he talked anyhow. So it's just like we get approached all the time now that people kind of, know that we embrace, more unusual ingredients, and then especially the techniques that are involved with, brewing with a lot of these, especially heritage grains, because a lot of them aren't malted. And so that comes with an extra challenge in the brewing process, you know, often a longer mash, you know, a cereal mash to really kind of help, you know, break those grains down in order to be fully utilized in the actual beer. So, so we work with, yeah, a lot of really old, North Carolina specific varieties of corn, and working with a lot of spelt, wheat, rye, oats. And, you know, so it's kind of, you know, a lot of it, you know, I've learned along the way, and then I'm continuing to learn more as I reach out to, you know, farmers who are, you know, really doing the backbone of the work behind, you know, this whole thing and really reviving these specific grains that, you know, were forgotten and would have been completely forgotten if not for, you know, these farmers who were doing it.
Do you have a tasting room, excuse me, or a restaurant where you can pair it with the food they grow, or the, you know, the rest of the things that these farmers grow, animals or plants or herbs?
Right. Did you ask if
yeah, like if you all have a restaurant here, or a tasting room where you can kind of?
Yeah, we have it's a really small tasting room. We don't have a restaurant here. We do serve, you know, just kind of a local meat, cheese, and cracker board. But we kind of like hand customers like the packaged chunks of each with a cutting board and a knife because we can't actually prepare any food ourselves. So yeah, it would be really nice. It would be great
Sounds
to one
cool.
day have, you know, a kitchen where we were able to pair a lot of these beers.
I'd like to
really
be able to go
specific
and
food items.
Cut my own. There's always a delay with the phone, but I would like to be able to cut my own cheese at a bar. And you know, he's
yeah,
listening.
Right.
Hey, you can hear me. So just stay on the line with us, Todd.
Liability sometimes with people. Like a lot of folks, I'm like, I don't know if I want to give you a knife right now.
Well.
Yeah, man. Hey, just stay on the phone with us. We got guys from New Belgium and some WFMU cats who are just out in Copenhagen, too. One thing,
cool.
Todd, were there any brewers from Europe that you met for the first time at the festival? Or is it like
a
clubhouse where you knew everybody?
No, man. So, I mean, like, we're, you know, this is new for us. You know, it's, you know, we're only 2.5 years old. And so to be pouring at that festival was just kind of, was mind-blowing and humbling in its own right. And I mean, the whole reason that we were there is actually because of the Shelton brothers in the first place, you know, pouring beer at the Shelton Festival, you know, last October in Tampa. You know, we got to meet Mikael and, you know, really got to shoot the shit with him for a while. And he gave, you know, I got to, give them our beers and sample them and everything. And so, you know, I just kind of kept in touch after that. And, you know, so that was pretty monumental. So, yeah, you know, I don't know a lot of these, you know, these brewers from around the world. Like, you know, everybody else seems to have really great relationships with a lot of them. And so this trip was, you know, just pretty instrumental in building relationships and meeting brewers. You know, I mean, we brewed three beers with, you know, with breweries while we were over there, and, you know, toured a bunch others. And so, yeah, I mean, it was really incredible seeing what's going on over there.
That's cool. We're going to keep talking about some other things too. So, guys, I've got some questions here. This is more for the New Belgium guys.
Sure.
Colin, my sister has celiacs and lives in Denver. Sorry. I'm sorry, kid. And she hasn't found any gluten-free beer she likes yet. Do you guys make a gluten-free beer at New Belgium?
We do. We actually have a series of beers called Gluteny. We have a pale ale and a golden ale, which selling quite well here in the New York market. We got a guy that works for our distributor, Manhattan Beer, out on Long Island, and he came out for we do this thing called Beer School, where we bring the wholesalers out to, you know, get immersed in our culture. And the whole time he was like, man, I gotta try that gluteny. And he did the 6-pack challenge, and yeah, he was all good, man. He's got celiacs, and he drank, I think he probably drank like 20 beers that day.
I think if I lived in Colorado and couldn't drink beer, I'd find something else.
Yeah. That's the other culture, you guys. I'm sorry that your culture is just in decline with all your, you know, your liberal ideas.
Oh, yeah.
So you guys, another question. So Copenhagen Beer Festival, either Todd or BR or Bob. Okay. Tell me a new favorite brewery that you met at this fancy festival. Because I feel like, how do you guys get to go to, like, Copenhagen for a beer festival? It's like, do I get invited to Sundance for a movie festival?
You should. You really should. So. Stockholm Brewing. Because not only the beer was great, the guy had a lot of character. He was a funny guy. He's also 80 feet tall. And I have a picture of BR, who's not 80 feet tall, standing next to him, which is just an amazing photo.
Yeah, whenever I'm next to Scandinavians, who are often like Viking size, it's pretty interesting.
Oh, that's right.
That's why they have the double seats in the airplanes. But all right, and Todd, last question. Okay, for you, what was another brewery that you met in Copenhagen that you were really impressed with?
I met some folks. They were kind of in the sort of off the beaten path section of the festival. You know, just kind of part of the local, kind of the more like Norwegian, you know, type section over there. And they have a new farm brewery that they were working on opening up. So they weren't even quite open yet. They were called Farm or Ale Farm. And they were making some really cool wild ales and saisons and everything. So I thought it was really, really cool for them to be there. And they weren't even, you know, really kind of rocking and rolling yet.
Great, man. And what's the last beer, Chip?
So this is 2016 La Folie. This is our sour brown ale aged in French oak barrels for really 1, 2, and 3 years. This is our this is the one that all my fellow beer geeks love a lot.
What do people in New York really think about New Belgium? Because there's so many new breweries, and I've liked what I've tasted so far.
They think the name of our brewery is Fat Tire.
That's true.
I never knew that New Belgium was in Colorado.
I think you give respect where respect is due. You know, you can sit there and want to have the newest thing and the coolest thing and the most exciting thing, but when you look at the practices and the way they've been so consistent on such a large scale, I think, you know, you have to give credit where credit's due. As a New Yorker,
we got something for everybody. You know, it's the fans of our IPAs are not in love with Fat Tire, right? The people that love our wood age sour stuff, you know, they love what we do with sour beer, and we've got one of the, you know, largest fooder farms,
64 fooders.
Yeah, in the country, and we're lucky like that we have a portfolio that can appeal to all types of people.
I was expecting more of that. I'm glad you popped. So what's the one again? It's the La Folie.
This is La Folie. So this is our dark sour brown ale that we basically take the best three barrels of a beer that we affectionately refer to as Oscar, which is our dark sour, and we blend the best three each year that are ready to go to make that year's version. Vintage of La Folie.
And BR, you brought another sour beer in also.
Yes, I did. So that was another brewery, Les Trois Mousquetaires from Quebec in Brossard, just across the river from Montreal. It's one we did an interview with them for beer here, also back, I believe, around Christmas time. It is a brewery that Shelton Brothers imports, but we try on beer here. We have a lot of contacts with brewers, so we're able to get some very interesting and creative brewers on our show, but we do try to focus more on, you know, people come through New York, talk to local brewers, to domestic brewers, to bar owners. We did an anniversary podcast with Blind Tiger, with Dave Broderick and Catherine, also with Mission Dolores. But this particular beer from Les Trois Mousquetaires is not one that Shelton Brothers imports. It's only available in Canada. And it's called Ceci n'est pas un goose, a little bit of a play, both for the Belgian surrealist Magritte and Ceci n'est pas un peep, and the fact that you can't call it a goose because it's not made in Brussels. But this is it's a blend of 1, 2, and 3-year-old of lambic or goose lambics.
And thanks, Paul and BR. Yeah, man, you're always one of my favorite guests, BR. And last one, so Phil, so talk about recaps of recent shows on Beer Sessions Radio. Last week we had on the food and beer authors, Yeppe and Daniel Burns and Taurus and Luxus. So you said you listened to that show.
I listened to that show and, I went on Amazon.com.
You bought the book. And what was your takeaway from the book or the show?
The takeaway from the show was my wife and I actually did the tasting menu at Luxus. A good friend of ours, got it for us as a wedding gift. Got us a gift certificate to Luxus and to go do that tasting menu, and it was amazing. And my wife is allergic to shellfish, and Anne's making faces at me.
She has a great wife.
Are you going to make an anti-shellfish beer?
So what's interesting is that you know, we had actually met Daniel just hanging out at Tourist, and we're like, hey, you know, we have this gift certificate. You know, we want to come down, and I explained to him, I said, you know, I noticed that there's a lot of fish on your menu, and he goes, yeah, just give us a call, you know, about a week or so before you're coming, and we will absolutely accommodate your food allergies. And it was amazing. We sat at the counter and watched them plate everything, and it was an amazing experience.
Gentlemen, we went to Taurus last week after the show, and we got to hang out with Daniel in the kitchen, and sorry you missed it, Anne, because we were in Italy.
Yeah.
But, you know. And last, just give it a quick wrap-up. Anne, everyone just say your name and anything else you want to add before we close out.
Yeah, Anne Becerra, I'm just so excited to be drinking beer today. I've been a little under the weather, so this is a nice welcome back.
And thank you again for having us. We're so excited to be in New York and, again, just to be a part of the amazing craft beer community that already exists here.
Chip Newell. All right, man. And you guys, beer here, kids.
BR Rolia with Beer Here.
Yeah. Check it out, beerhere.blogspot.com.
Makes me actually think of Yankee games. Beer here.
Beer here. Actually, one of our first podcasts was the Good Beer Seal. Yeah. So Jimmy is definitely prominently represented on Beer Here. So almost like cousins.
Well, congratulations. Hey, you know, we're interviewing people about beer shows on beer shows. You
that's know, the so. Way it should be, right?
So, guys, so that's meta. A lot of fun, and we're on to, like, our fifth beer, and thanks for tuning in, everybody. Great guests tonight, BR, Bob, Phil, and Chip from New Belgium, and Todd, thanks for calling in from Fontaflora Brewing in North Carolina.
Yeah,
that was a treat.
Thanks for having me, guys.
I'm really excited to try your beer.
I'd like to thank our sponsors at Union Beer Distributors for helping bring this podcast to you tonight. And thanks for joining me on the Heritage Radio Network. Thanks to our producers, Maggie Seiden and Justin Kennedy. And to our engineer tonight, David Tadashore. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time on Beer Sessions Radio. All right. Woo-hoo! Woo! Yeah.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.